We all want to help other people. As parents, we long to help our children. We want them to listen and therefore save themselves many problems and trials as they mature. We wish our friends would take our advice and listen to us with what we have to say to them. We want our fellow employees to be receptive to our ideas and our suggestions, and we want our family members, our brothers, our sisters, to consider our advice and counsel. We want our church friends to listen to what we have to say and to act upon it. Well, today what we're going to do in this sermonette is we're going to look at a vital key that will help you to be able to help your family, friends, business associates, and brethren consider what you are telling them. Point number one, examples of how not to make people consider your viewpoint and therefore change. These are things, examples of things you don't want to do. Be a smoker and completely out of shape and deciding that you want to open a business as a consultant to triathletes. You don't want to do that. You're not married, and this is your third person you've hooked up with, as they say in the vernacular, living together with, in the last 4 years. And you want to advise your brother-in-law that he should be faithful to his wife, your sister. You don't want to do that either. This is your fifth job in 4 years. And you comment to your fellow employees that they need to be more loyal to the company. It's not a good thing to do either. Advising your brother to be more communicative when you have not called or communicated with him in 6 years. That's something else you don't want to do. You can see the flaw in all of these scenarios of giving advice. I'm going to give you a story once. I've said it before. I may have said it in another message, but it actually belongs here. I've actually told this story to some of you, but bear with me. I remember once I was building a fence many years ago when I was working construction to put myself through graduate school. I remember the day I graduated from graduate school, I dug 60 post holes, but that's another story. I was in the front yard of a house in a very nice neighborhood, very, very nice neighborhood. Every neighborhood, every lawn had sprinklers in it, all landscaped, flowers. Nobody did their own yard. They hired people to do things for them. I noticed an older lady came out of the front door of a house a few doors down the street. I was working on the fence and I could see her coming out of the door. She had a little hairy dog. It looked like a cross between a cat and a dog. So I wasn't sure if it was a cat or a dog, but I think it was a dog. And she had this animal on a leash, and she was walking her dog down the street in my direction. So as I'm working on this fence, she gets out of this real nice house, very nappily dressed, and she's walking her dogat down the street towards me. At every home, she would take the dog and into the immaculately manicured lawn, and the dog would leave a deposit in every yard. She did this at every home. Now, I want you to note that the dog was on a leash, so the dog was led into the yard to do this. As her dog was making a deposit, another dog came wandering down the street, an old mutt, and was sniffing the grass in the yard of the home this lady had come out of. So this little mutt comes out and goes to this lady's yard, sniffing around. And the stray dog settled down on her yard and began to make a deposit. The lady, seeing what was happening, became very upset and began yelling at the stray dog, picked up a few rocks, and began to throw them at the stray dog, making the deposit on her yard. She was so upset, she began to drag the dogette down the street, and she began to try to run the dog off her yard that was making the deposit. Fortunately, she did not see me laughing, since I had gone to the other side of the fence. I found it humorous and incredible that this woman did not want the dog doing to her front yard what she was doing to everybody else's front yard. It's something that I will never forget, and I remember to this very day. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. This is a book. This is a sermonette on how to give advice, sort of, on one of the keys to remember when giving advice. Matthew chapter 7. And this is the what a lot of people call the Thou Shalt Not Judge chapter, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read the first four verses. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Sort of like having a board sticking out of your eye, and you're looking at a speck, a little toothpick or a little speck, in somebody else's eye. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Those examples I gave you at the very beginning. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? The Bible tells us that we must be able to judge. In many places, the Bible tells us we must correct and help others if needed. How do we do this? Well, let's go, hold your place there in Matthew. Let's go to John. John chapter 5. And in verse 30. I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. You know, Christ judges. Christ is a judgmental God. He judges and sees what needs to be corrected. Point number two. We cannot expect others to change. This is whether you're giving advice to your young child, giving advice to another church member, giving advice to your spouse, giving advice to a friend at work. Probably the only exception would be is you could probably give any kind of advice you wanted if you're about 10 minutes from dying. That would probably be the only exception. But if it's a standard, let me give you some advice. You cannot expect others to change if I have not changed, or more correctly, we cannot advise others to change if we have not changed and are struggling with the same problem. The problem was with Matthew 7 is that we were not reading all of the verse. Let's go back to Matthew 7. When you read it the way I read it, it's actually heresy, because it says, you know, not to judge, and don't judge your brother. But notice verse 5. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It doesn't say not to judge people and not to correct people, but it says don't correct people if you have a problem. So how do you correct people? You have to remove your problems. You have to get rid of the problems in your life before they will listen to you. When I have a plank, when I have this board right here sticking out of my eye, when I have this plank in my eye, several things happen. I am spending lots of time with my own problems. If I got a problem and I'm dealing with it, I spend lots of time with that problem. Another thing, I cannot see your problem clearly because I got this board sticking out of my eye. So I can't see your problem because my problem keeps getting in the way. If I do see your problem, I cannot see it in the proper context sometimes. Another thing is I can get so used to the plank that I may not even realize that it's there. That it's there. You know, I remember going backpacking once, several times, been on several trips. And you're on a five-day backpacking trip into the mountains. And about the only washing you do is your hands and your face a little bit. And you start to notice how everybody else's clothes smell. I'm being polite here. Everybody has a little odor to them. And the only problem is you don't smell yourself until you get to the hotel or to the shower and you take your clothes off and you take a shower and then you put your clothes in the plastic bag and whoa! That's the way it is sometimes with giving advice. We don't see other people. We can't give other people advice. We don't notice what we should do because we have our own problems. And sometimes our problems have been with us so long that we don't realize we have them. We don't realize we have them. There is a way, this is the third point, there is a way to get people to take your advice. In whatever situation it is, my advice to you is not to give advice too much. But when you do give it, or you have to give it, this is the way to get people to take your advice, to listen to what you say, and to be receptive to constructive criticism. And that is, you have to overcome your own problems. You have to overcome your own problems. Truism, this is a truism. This is a very difficult thing to do because it is easier to find faults with others than it is to change. Now, I'm not saying you should never correct anyone. That's not what I'm saying. Minda said, no, correct anybody. Did not say that. What I'm saying is make sure that you have corrected your own problems and your house is in order before you start giving advice. The answer is easy, although the application is quite difficult. We must first, you must, I must, we must get rid of the plank. We got to get it out of our eye. We got to get it out of our eye. We got to remove the plank. So now let me give you some different scenarios that I gave you in the introduction. Being an ex-smoker, and since I quit smoking, I've been training and competing in several marathons. Matter of fact, I even ran the Boston Marathon, and then deciding that I want to open a business as a consultant to triathletes. You'll get them to listen to you. Going from relationship to relationship, but many, many years ago, realizing that I was going down a dead-end path, I gave up that lifestyle and have been happily and faithfully married for many years to one woman. And then I decided to give my brother-in-law advice about remaining faithful. He'll listen to me then. This is your fourth job in 4 years, but the last job you had, you kept for 22 years. 22 years. And then commenting to your fellow employees that they need to be more loyal to the company. And the last one, realizing that you and your brother do not communicate. Sometimes happens, people move away. So for several years, you decide to call him twice a week and periodically write him letters, emails, cards, and then you decide to advise him that he needs to be more communicative. Probably will listen to you then. The most effective way to get people to change is by changing yourself and then modeling the changes that you advise. Let's go to the book of James, final scripture. Book of James. Notice I did not say never to give advice. I'm saying is make sure your house is in order and you don't have the same problem you're giving advice about unless you overcome it. And probably the best advice about certain things is from people that have overcome that problem or whatever it happens to be and have dealt with it properly. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, the Sabbath, the truth? Yeah. You got a friend that's not keeping the Sabbath and you go to him and advise him what to do? Question is, are you keeping the Sabbath? Faithfulness in marriage, is that a good trait to have? Yes, it is. Can you advise someone to be faithful in marriage? Yes, you can. Make sure you've been faithful in marriage. So all of those are truth. How you raise your children. There are certain godly principles. Make sure you're applying them in your life before you advise someone else to apply them in theirs. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save someone from death and cover a multitude of sins. Cover a multitude of sins. Being able to help and advise our brethren and sisters in the truth is very, very important. This can only be done by being an example of change yourself. You must change yourself before you can expect others to change.